Do not be afraid any longer, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. How comforting is that thought, that the Father wants to give us the kingdom. It brings him pleasure to give the kingdom to us. Because really, the kingdom of God is the life of God, to live his life in union with him. No longer to live my own life, but the life of God. And living that life in union with God is not just when we die. Every day in the Our Father we pray, on earth as it is in heaven. The Father is pleased to give us the kingdom, and he wants to give it now. And that desire to give us his life, to share his life with us, is wrapped up in his identity. Because from the beginning, God reveals himself as Father, not primarily as creator or gender-neutral parent or judge, but as Father. Because a father is the one who comes in from the outside, who shares his life, and who chooses to stay, to bless the child by giving his name and to give an identity to that child. And that's what the Father wants to do for each of us. But our first parents rejected his fatherhood. They wanted to do it alone. They didn't want to receive an identity from him. They wanted to determine for themselves who they are. And so they said no thank you to his offer of fatherhood. And so the eternal Son, the second person of the Trinity, while never leaving the heart of the Father, comes to earth and becomes a man so that finally a human being will again fully accept the Father's love. Because from that first rejection, we are so wounded by sin that we become skittish, and we're unable to really accept that in its fullness, to receive what he wants to give. And so Jesus comes and does it on our behalf. And then in baptism, we are made a part of Jesus. Not as a metaphor, but literally, we are made a part of his body, so that everything that belongs to him belongs to us too. And that's the spirit of adoption that we heard about in that opening prayer of the Mass. It's one of my favorite collects of the entire year, and it just happens as this random Sunday in ordinary time in the middle of the summer. But, O God, who taught by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we dare to call our Father, bring to perfection the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters. That spirit of adoption that gives us courage to face our unique hour in the story that God is writing in the world. So what is that hour? What is that time in which we find ourselves that's been uniquely entrusted to us as sons and daughters? Well, on one hand, from the gospel, we hear that in some ways we're in the dark about that. We don't know when the master will come. We know that we're supposed to be faithful in the meantime, but we don't know exactly what's going on. But then on the other hand, from our Old Testament reading, we know that we're not totally in the dark. While we don't know everything that's going on, we do know some. We can look around and see that whatever is happening, God is preparing something new, something unique happening in our time that hasn't happened in the same way before. And when we look at that new thing, again, there's a seeming contradiction, because on one hand, the church seems to be in free fall. When I was coming into the church, I was watching all of my peers leave through the other door and not come back. We don't have enough priests. We don't have enough people in the pews. Things seem to be collapsing. But then on the other hand, so if you're keeping track, that's the fourth hand. But on the other hand, there are seeds of revival going on in the midst of that freefall. People are beginning to realize that the promises that they've been made by the world of one cultural, social, moral, sexual revolution after another, those promises aren't coming true and they aren't making them happy. And maybe the answer isn't just to wait for the next revolution, because that won't work either. One place that we can see this happening is in Western Europe. in some ways, the place where secularism, life without God, has gotten the most advanced. It's kind of a post-Christian wasteland. But in those countries where the faith has been the most abandoned, we're starting to see record numbers of adult baptisms. Not just 1 year, but year after year consistently. Because people are realizing that the story they've been sold by the world isn't paying out, and they're looking for something else. And so that is our moment. And in that moment, our task is to respond with faith and with courage. The Israelites in the first reading knew their hour. The night of the Passover was known beforehand to our fathers, that with sure knowledge of the oaths in which they put their faith, they might have courage. We have courage in this hour because we trust our Father and the promises that He's made to us. And the Father makes big promises. He wants to wake up His church from her slumber. He wants to draw our despairing neighbors, all of them, to His Son. He wants to give us the kingdom. So why don't we always see that happening? If God's making these promises, why does it seem like so often in my life they're not coming true? Well, part of the reason might be that we might not be giving the Father enough room to fulfill those promises. If I only give Him a part of my life, whether that's I only give Him an hour a week, or I only give Him these spheres, but not these spheres of my life, whatever it is, if I only give Him a part of my life, I don't have room to receive everything He wants to give. It's like taking a little tiny plate to an all-you-can-eat buffet. You're just not going to get very much. And so if we want to see the fullness of the kingdom that the Father desires to give us, if we want to see the renewal of His church, we have to give Him everything. We have to give Him total permission to use us however He wants. We have to consecrate everything we have and are totally to His will and to His love. It's because Abraham was willing to obey in faith and to give the Father everything that he was able to receive a son from his wife, even though she was old and barren, that he was able to receive a land for his descendants, and that eventually he was able to receive the Messiah himself. And so I beg you, please, every day, give the Lord permission. Invite the Lord in and pray for revival in our parish, in our diocese, in our state, and in our world. Give Jesus total permission to use you for His purposes, because it's the Father's pleasure to give us His kingdom. And so this morning, I would like to pray together for that end, asking the Lord to come and to use us for His purposes. And so I'm going to pray up here, but your job is to take that prayer that I'm speaking and to make it interiorly your own, to echo in your heart what I'm saying with my mouth, to take my words and give them assent, and to say the same sentiments to the Lord, to give Him permission in your life, because I can't do that for you. Because otherwise, they'll only be words. And we want prayer to always be more than words, but a real gift of our hearts to the Lord. So together, let's pray.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we come before you humbly, and we ask that you give us the gift of yourself, that you stir up in our hearts a great love for you, give you total permission to use us for all of your purposes. Please, Lord, use us as your instrument to send us to those around us who do not know you, who know that they're looking for something else but don't know where to find it. Lord, wake up your church. Send her on mission to the world. Cast out from us the spirit of fear, the spirit of self-preservation and self-reliance, and give us a new share in the spirit of adoption. Give us an ever greater trust in the love of the Father for us, and to see that our fullest joy comes from giving Him everything. That the only way to a life worth living is to hand our lives over to You, Lord. We beg You to pour out Your Spirit in a new way on this parish. We give You total permission to use us, to come into every part of our lives and to make Your presence and Your love known. Lord, please convert us from every place where we're far from You, so that at the end of our life we may come to that heavenly dwelling place that You have prepared for us from all eternity, and may gaze on the Father face to face. In Your name we pray. Amen.